Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I wonder if any of us, when we get to April 15th, look at our tax return and say, you know, there's a deduction I could take, but I'm not going to take it because I love paying my taxes. I don't think I pay enough. I don't think anyone in their right mind says that. We try to find every deduction that we can. And it's not that we don't understand that because we pay taxes, we get potholes fixed. And when there's people in trouble, when there's disasters, FEMA comes with our tax dollars. We know that our taxes pay for teachers and for firefighters and police officers and all sorts of wonderful things, but we don't want to pay. And I understand that. I take every deduction I can find. We had an IRS building in Maryland, and they wanted to dress it up. And so they asked a sculptor to make a wonderful sculpture, and he did, and it was two hands pointing, and we all said, it's put the money in here. Nobody likes paying taxes, but we have nothing on the people in Jesus' day because their taxes were going to help their own oppression. How awful must that have been every time they had to pay that tax? You see, in the time of Judas Maccabees, Rome was considered the Hebrew people's savior, and they tried to come into an agreement with Rome to help them because Rome stood for justice. And so they were happy when Rome came in and helped them out, except that Rome became the oppressor, and this was an awful thing for them. And so their taxes went to pay Governor Pilate's salary. And they loathed Governor Pilate, and for good reason, because Governor Pilate hated them. He hated them so much that he disrespected their religion any chance he got. He hated them so much that he used the instrument of terror, which at that time was the cross, and he put them in public squares so that people could see if you are on the wrong side of his law, that's where you were going to end up. He was a terrorist. He was a horrible person, and their tax dollars went to pay his salary. You can imagine how much they hated paying taxes. And then there were some of their own people who decided that there was a way to enrich themselves, and that was by being tax collectors. And so people, probably poor people who thought this was a good way to make a buck, a fast buck, became tax collectors. And all through the Gospels, when you read about sinners, who else do they mention? Tax collectors and sinners. Now, some of them might be upstanding people. We'll never know because they were lumped together. They were ostracized because they were tax collectors. So when the Pharisees and the Herodians came to Jesus and asked him the question, they found the perfect trap for him. Because if he said, yes, it's your civic duty to pay taxes, all of his followers would abandon him. But if he said, no, we shouldn't be paying taxes because it's an oppressive regime, those same leaders would have run straight to the Roman authorities and said, this man is a rabble-rouser, and he would have been dealt with. They had the perfect trap. And so they sprung it on Jesus, and they asked him the question. First, they flattered him, and then they asked the question. And instead of answering the question, the trap, he asked for a coin. And he said, whose head is on that? And they said, the emperor or Caesar's head. And he said, okay, give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God's. Well, what is Caesar's? Caesar's is our civic duty. Caesar's is paying taxes. Caesar's is voting. In America, we vote. We do things to help our fellow man. That's rendering to Caesar. But what are the things that are God's? Now, if we say everything, that's really meaningless. Yeah, we know that God is in charge of everything, but if we know, well, everything's God, then we go about our merry way. So let's be specific. What are the specific things that belong to God? And Paul writes it best when he talks about the church in Thessalonica, and he said, I remember you because of your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope. The work of faith is that everything we do, because we know God and because we're children of God, everything we do is a sacred task. If you're tasked to fill potholes, it's a sacred task. If you are tasked to be in a hospital setting, it's a sacred task. Whatever you're put, what kind of work you're doing, it's sacred when you have faith. I remember a wonderful story about a man who had been laid off from his career, and he was floundering. He didn't know what to do, and he ended up with a job in a factory. He hated that kind of work. He would stand for hours and just package as the assembly line came along. He had his little job to do. And the more he hated his work, the sourer he was at home. He just could not stand life. But he read a little book about the Jesus Prayer. And the Jesus Prayer says, Father, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he thought, well, I could pray that. Maybe it'll help me with the time. So as every piece came to his station, as he did his job, he would say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he did that for a while, and then he started to pray for others. And he started to say, have mercy on, and he would fill in a name. And after months of this, he found that he was looking forward to going to work. Because work was a sacred place. Our work of faith makes everything we do a sacred task. Your work of faith, your labor of love, that's when we do things that are gracious and kind to the family of God. And I'm not only talking about the church family, I'm talking about all those who are God's children. God made us all, and every time we do something kind, every time we write a letter of condolence, every time we visit the sick, whatever we do that helps somebody else is our labor of love. And this we owe to God, to love his creation. And then the third thing was steadfastness in faith. That's holding on to faith even when your foundations are shaken. And we do that because God has held on to us. And isn't it interesting that faith, love, and hope are gifts of God, and then he asks us to give them back? Where Caesar will take and sometimes give you back, not often, God gives and takes and gives again. Lately, I think we've been paying too much attention to Caesar. We've been paying too much attention to the machinations of government and politics. Now, that does not mean that we do not engage. We have a group in Green Bay called Joshua for Justice that has engaged the local Caesars and has done some very good work in that area, getting more funding for mental health and doing things to reform the justice system in the Green Bay area. Those things are important. I'm not saying we should disengage, but sometimes we look for Caesar to save us, and that cannot be. And so we get ourselves all wrapped up about the Caesars of our lives, rather than looking to the God of the universe. That's where our focus needs to be. God gives us faith that everything we touch is a sacred responsibility. God gives us love so that every person we meet, we can lift up and give joy to. And God holds on to us so that we can hold on to him. So tomorrow, before you turn on the radio or the TV and learn about the Caesars of our lives, wrap yourselves up in faith, in hope, and in love. Let us pray. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Lord, we ask that you would give to us the grace to mirror you in faith, in love, and in hope. In Jesus' name, amen.